That video reminded me of how Jesus does love us with all our mess. And it kind of ties in with what we're going to talk about this morning. Going to start off with a story, though. Two little brothers, they were a big handful, and their parents had just reached their wits' end. They were just didn't know what to do, so they bring them to the pastor. Pastor takes the youngest one, ask him, "Where's God?" Little one doesn't answer. He gets in a more stern voice, "Where's God?" And he doesn't answer. Then he points his finger at him, and that's when you know it gets real, when the pastor points her finger at you. "Where's God?" He bolts out of the room, goes hiding in his closet. His brother comes in, and he says, "What happened?" He said, "We're in trouble now. God's missing. They think we took him." Have you ever been in your life where you thought God was missing from it? I have. I've been in points where where you at? I could really use you right now. Some of the things, why'd they happen the way they happened? I think that's just natural response from all of us. This week, I texted, I prayed, I called with different individuals and prayed about different folks that were really struggling. Physical, financial, spiritual, all of the above in most cases. And I found something with them, though. They all had that one person or two people or ever how many people that were there that was their rock, their support. Good or bad, they'd been there with them through the whole time. It can be almost as stressful to be that support person as it is to be that person that's going through the struggle. Because you're going through it just as much as them in a lot of ways. Someone we care about is dealing with something that so many times is overwhelming. Physically, you can't fix their pain. Spiritually, you can't make them change. But you love them and you hurt when they hurt. Many times a support person, and I've seen that this week, can become the object of anger from the person that's struggling. And this, your life has gotten out of control. You used to work, you used to do this, you used to do that, and now you're having to depend on someone for almost everything. The frustration builds up, the anger, the stress, the fear. And fear can come out in anger sometimes. It can real easy. And who is that person there with you most of the time? That support person. And it just comes out. And they don't mean it. They may regret it the moment they say it. But it's almost an uncontrollable thing for them. This support person a lot of times feels totally unprepared for the load they have to carry. There are people that may not hardly know anything about cancer or addiction, and they have to learn real fast. There may be people that have never set foot in the ICU that now camp out in its waiting room. And they're having to just hold on to this person. And it's very, very, very stressful. And God, in these times, God can seem really far away from us. When we're having to be that support person or the person going through the struggle. As we look at it, though, are we really unprepared? And is God really that far away? Think about situations that you've been in that you've had to be the foundation, the support for someone. Was it easy? No. What made it so hard? Was it that you were supposed to do this? The urging that kept pulling you forward. You didn't want to, but you were still there because you knew it was laid on your heart to do this for this person. Or was it that it struck really close to home? Maybe you had dealt with a sickness, an addiction, or some other problem, and someone is struggling with a similar struggle. just seeing the loved one hurt that you can't fix is enough to cause stress and just wear you down. As I look through the scriptures about helping others with their struggles, there was one person that I just zeroed in on. I was led to Paul. Paul had an amazing ministry. It lasted almost 30 years. Paul was converted from Judaism to Christianity on the road to Damascus 36 years after Jesus died. Another confirmed date, he was beheaded in Rome 66 years after Jesus died. There's actually monuments. There's three fountains where Paul was executed at. They said his head bounced three times, fountain sprung each place. It's called a trace font. My Italian's terrible. My English isn't all that good. But it's actually there, and it's a confirmed date. Paul had a ministry of 30 years. Considering all that Paul went through, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, jailed, just utterly amazing. He had a great way of understanding our relationship between our life experiences and our journey with Jesus. You think about how many scriptures do we rely on to tell us about our road, our walk with Jesus. How many of them come from the books of Paul, the letters he wrote? Paul knew about life. Paul wrote about helping someone, helping others, most if not all the letters he wrote. I learned something from my first ministry class, and I've been looking at the Bible most of my life. Do you know how the letters of Paul are arranged? I didn't know this. It's not chronological order. It's from largest to smallest. I had no idea. I thought Romans was the first one, and I thought something was odd because he got killed in Rome. The largest letter to the smallest. If you look at them, that's how they're put together when the Bible was made. Paul actually, one of the first letters that he wrote was actually in Thessalonians. The three scriptures that we're going to look at early in Paul's ministry, the middle of Paul's ministry, and at the end. And they're all about helping folks. Now, the first place we're going to look at is in Galatians. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. And now, Paul's letter to the Galatians was written within the first few years of his ministry. He had already started some church, but was still kind of feeling things out. And in this chapter, Paul answers a basic question by helping others during their struggles. Why? Why do we help people? Why do Christians help people? Why should we help people? Why do we need to help others? Because that's what our Christ does. In doing so, in verse 2, we bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, is what Jesus would do. Working together through life's challenges, we can strengthen and support each other when the times get hard. By doing like we think Jesus would do, we become closer to Him. And we've talked about it before, that when we go to walk in this path with Christ, the goal is to get more like Him. We know we'll never be like Him, but in our goal, in our attempt to get closer like Him, we become better Christians and closer to Him. And when we share our struggles, we're modeling right after the love of Christ. Isaiah said it 600-700 years in Isaiah 53:4. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He took our sins. He took our struggles. That's part of the grace of Jesus, is that He took it. He took our troubles and bore them as His own. And that's where Paul gets this from Isaiah. And you think about Jesus. If you imagine, then, people have used it as that person that everybody's carrying around bags of trash. They're representative of our struggles. When we come to Christ, we dump them on Him. He takes them. And when we help others, we help them lift those bags up so they ain't as hard to carry. Verses 3 and 4, good reminders of that when we help people, we need to be humble when we help folks. That we don't need to be arrogant, we don't need to be prideful, because really, where do our blessings come from? They come from God. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Because when we help someone, if we get prideful and condescending those people, and we look down on them, how far away are we from them? We one hospital bill away, any one of us, from being bankrupt. We're one pain pill away from being addicted. We're one drink away from being an alcoholic. That's any of us. That is me sitting up here. That's any of us. There's an unknown author who said, "There, but for the grace of God go I." And I have to remind myself of that sometimes when I help people with their struggles, that I start getting a little holy rolling, and then I remember, or is put on my heart, what you really got to brag about, because without me, there are many points in your life where you wouldn't be right up here. So we stay humble when we help people. And I know we've all probably had a situation where we helped by someone, or someone's done something for us, and they constantly remind us of what they've done for us and how fortunate we are to have them. And I think we've all probably had that, and it ain't a whole lot of fun. And if you don't want it done to you, that other person sure don't want it done to them. Verse 5 is a real good reminder for the people being helped. I've said it before, and I'm a firm believer in it. There is a difference between helping others and being used. There is a distinct difference. People that are in the struggle, the primary person, you help yourself as much as you can. God expects it, and you just need to do it. If God is giving you the ability to do something for yourself, you do it for yourself. It doesn't mean you're being a lone wolf and you don't have others. It's just you're pulling more of your own weight. Because this is just my feeling, how this works, and I hadn't seen any, this is just my belief, you get help, and as you get better, you help someone else, then they help someone else. That is how I think it's really supposed to go, and that's just me. Now, in verses 6 and through 8, Paul reminds Christians we were saved by Jesus, and we need to share that with others. When we're helping people, we need to make sure we're giving them Jesus' words and not ours. Jesus' example and not ours, because it's real easy for that flesh to creep in, because we all got a flesh nature. We all have a sin nature. All of us. Whether you're up here, whether you're sitting there, whether you never stepped foot in the church in your life. We all have a sin nature. And it's very easy to start kind of just, well, I think that verse may have kind of meant this, and I'm sure Jesus didn't really mean that. And before you know it, you done got the Bible according to Mark and not the Holy Bible. And I've seen it before. I'm sure we all have. Well, it says so-and-so, you can do this. It's in the Bible. Where? That part they ain't too strong on. But we start helping people. We need to remember why we're helping people. And if there are people out there in the darkness and they're not Christians, if you don't feel the words coming to you, show them by your example. With some people, and with a lot of folks, it may not be your words they're listening to, but it's your example and what you're doing that they're looking at. Verse 9 is one of my favorite verses. It is. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. How many of us can become exhausted though? Being that support person, being that person that everybody goes to, being that person that helps. Don't you get worn down sometimes and exhausted? It can feel like you're walking down the desert road. I went in a few years ago, we went out to Las Vegas, and I've been out in the desert a time or two, and you can literally see miles and miles down the road. It ain't nothing but cliffs, sands, and occasional cactus. And it feels like there ain't nothing but more road and more sand in sight. And I think support people feel that sometimes, that they've given and they've given and they've given. And it's one more round of this treatment. It's 2 weeks of being sober, and then you discover someone, you're a person in the struggle, and they ain't acting right, and you know all too well what it means. It's blood work that you were just counting on being normal or improved, and is not. It can just be exhausting to you, and it just seems like that desert road. Paul tells us, hang in there. We're helping others for the right reasons. We're going to benefit from it. We're going to benefit from it storing up treasure in heaven. But also, I think there's another reason. How many times have you grown spiritually when everything is going good? How many times have you grown spiritually when everything has done just hit the fan, went all to pieces, flat tire, rearview mirror fell off, water heater busted. You and your husband or wife, you just can't even walk in the same room with each other. And then you're forced to take a look at yourself. You're forced to take a look at them. How many times do you grow out of that? With adversity, it ain't fun. It's no fun at all. But these struggles do have a secondary benefit to them. The best lessons aren't taught in the classroom by a professor. They're taught in real life by the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, Paul tries to remind everybody to help folks, especially if they're Christians. Part of this is the early Christians lived in a community together. They grew food together, baked bread together. They wouldn't have survived without each other. I think we've abandoned that concept in a lot of ways, but I feel like as the future comes, we're going to have to go back to it. As the world is changing and the laws are changing, I feel like we're going to have to band together, whether it's to boycott a company, whether it is to help each other with gardens or whatever it is, I feel like eventually we're going to come back to that. I think we're meant to support each other, but this can be complicated by those that aren't willing to help themselves when they can. Sometimes our help for others can be helping them to help themselves. Now, the next section of the scripture we're going to look at is in 2 Corinthians. This was about 15 years or so into Paul's ministry. This is the second letter he wrote to the Corinthians, and this was a troubled little church. Paul had just some sermon gold come out of these two letters, but this church was, they were all up in the air when he wrote these letters. But by this time, though, Paul had started putting things together. He'd really started putting things together. He asks another question, he answers it. How do we help others? Sometimes we realize, okay, it's a Christian thing to do. How do I help them? They're a mess. I'm a mess. How do I help people? It can seem overwhelming. Many times the Holy Spirit urges us or places us in a situation that we're not sure how we can help. I think part of it is going back to part of what Jesus said. How do we learn as children? We copy. And then we take those lessons and we learn them and we use them and we repeat them. Paul in these verses talks about how we comfort people by looking to the example of how God comforted us. We look back on our lives because we are children in a spiritual way. we may be chronologically, I'm 48, but spiritually, I'm a whole lot younger. I don't even know if I'm shaving yet. And I think a lot of us are like that. There's a chronological age and there's a spiritual age. And we learn as spiritual children by observing. And then we try ourselves. And sometimes it's trial and error. We may not get it right. God shows us how to help others through his help for us. When he sends people to us, we look back on our own struggles. Look and see how you're helped. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It may be sending a card. It may be cooking a meal for somebody like 2-3 weeks after they've lost someone. It may be simple physical gestures that can lead to spiritual healing. It may be in our own struggle where we were turned. We were just, everything went wrong. And people in our lives gave us some tough love and we grew from it. And that may be how we help others. It can take a lot of forms. Those people who helped us and used us were guided by the Holy Spirit. And they were helped at some point in time. And they used the same things to help us. And we're supposed to remember those ways. And sometimes it's hard to see it while it's going on. The biggest times I've seen God's work in my life, a lot of times I'm looking back. And what I thought was a horrible day. Example, years ago, I worked in Columbia as a nurse. And I was driving back and forth to Ware Shoals like a doofus. And it was an hour and a half each way. For some reason, one evening, I decided to stop. And anybody ever been in Rush's restaurants down in Columbia? They got really good food. They're kind of like a local franchise down there. Anyway, I stopped. I'm coming home. I'm on Highway 252. Done between Lawrence and Ware Shoals. I get to a point, traffic stopped both directions. Logging truck had a wreck about 30 minutes before. I think somebody got killed. Who knows? 30 minutes, that could have been me. Sometimes we are used. Sometimes God's blessings, they come in things. I've had an awful day, just God awful. I think every patient I had in the recovery room was throwing up, itching, or hurting. And it was just really long, 12 hours, drove home, and I thought, well, I'm just going to stop and get something to eat. Normally don't. I think that was a little, okay. How many times, and looking back on it, I didn't realize it. I mean, at that time, didn't realize it, looked back on it, and it makes sense to me. How many times has God used someone to touch your life you didn't realize in hindsight, till in hindsight? Could have been that person to help you job interview. It could have been that person that just told you what you didn't want to hear, but what you need to hear. All those things. And it could be through that help, you're being prepped to help someone else. Now, our next section of scripture, Romans 8:26-28. Paul's letter to the Romans was his last letter. Paul had been in prison in Rome and tried a couple of times. At this point in time, Paul knew he would never leave Rome alive. Christian persecution at this time under the Emperor Nero was at an all-time high. He was having Christians executed, eaten by wild animals. Around this time would be the fire in Rome that he blamed on the Christians, but there's a lot of evidence that Nero himself may have said it so he could build his temples, his palaces. Here, in these verses, we've already asked the question, why do we need to help? How do we need to help? This one, what are all the struggles, the bumps, bruises, and scars we accumulate in this life? What are they good for? What are they good for? All of us are walking around with spiritual scars. Paul was no exception. He'd been in ministry 30 years at this point. He'd been shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, jailed, betrayed. He'd been hungry, cold. But he'd also been helped by people in similar situations. I I think that he's reflecting at this point in time on all that he's learned. And I think what he has is that we're meant through our experiences, good or bad, it trains us to help others. Romans 8:28, we know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm not saying that bad things happen because of God. This is a world that's filled with misery and sin. What I am saying is that God can take those things and put them to some good use. This world is not the world we're meant for. Imagine all of humanity is right here. There's a trail going through the dark woods. There's briars and splinters. There's poison oak and chiggers on both sides. It's a little thin trail. All of humanity has to get from this point to that point. We start walking, and we discover where the trail bends and it turns. What we're supposed to do is holler back. Watch this trail. Watch this corner. All things to the good of God. It's all part of this big plan. I think we're on a spiritual path that's very similar. We have to make our way through this world and walk this path with all the spiritual briars and chiggers that are out there. And there are. And we're going to get scarred up. We're going to get wounded from it. No one goes through this world unscathed. No, there's one person that lived in this world that didn't have sin. That was Jesus. All of us do. All of us stumble. All of us fall. How many of us have been helped by someone to get us back on that path? How do you think they learned what they learned? Probably through the hard way. As they teach us, we teach others. The support person in these struggles, they are a lot of times unsung. When the person comes through the other side, this person that helped them, acting as God's hands and feet, may not get the credit they deserve. But this person's fulfilling a role that's been going on for so long. They've taken the experiences they've learned, good, bad, and otherwise, and they've put it to the use for the work of God. Is what it's really supposed to be. Paul, I think, learned that through his 30 years in ministry. He started off, why do I need to do this? Because it's what Jesus would do. How can I help? Look back on your own life. Look at your experiences, your struggles. And what does all this mean? Why? What are all these struggles about? What are these scars? What are these things good for? It all can have a purpose. As we get ready to pray, I want to ask everybody to stand with me. Are you lost? Are you off that spiritual path right now that you're walking with Jesus? Are you seeing someone that is off of that trail in front of you or behind you? Is there someone at the beginning of the trail that's too afraid to take the first step? What do? Give them the help we got. And ask for help through the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit can help us even when we don't even know what to ask. And have a willing heart. That's what God, that's what the Holy Spirit wants, a willing heart. You may not know what to do. You may not know how to do it. I need a willing heart to be hands and feet. Going to get everybody to stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the music starting, the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, there are support people in this room right now. I feel it. I just know it. There are people that are going to be listening to this sermon. Father, they're struggling. Father, we are praying for people that are support people. They are struggling. They are wore down. Father, we lift them up to you and the people that are in the struggle, the primary people. Father, use these support people as your hands and feet. Renew their strength. Father, renew their focus. Father, renew their courage. Father, provide for these poor people and the people there are helping physically, spiritually, financially. Father, they're tired. I've seen several this week and they are so tired. Father, lift them up because they are your hands and feet. Help them not to grow weary of doing good because in due time they will reap. Father, just be with them. Father, help them see the good they're doing. Help them see your work they're doing. Father, reveal your will to them so that they may have direction. Father, give them the words to say. You gave it to Moses. You guide the prophets. You can guide these people. Father, as we leave out of here and go beyond these walls, help us to support these people that are helping others in their struggles. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Altars are open.